The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 2nd of October, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. What a day. I did not expect this weather this morning, another cold front. I'm glad for it, though, because I thought this is going to be the hottest October ever. It's good to see the weather shifting. I want to start the show, I guess, with some very, you know, sad news. I want to extend condolences to the friends and family of Dario Anthony Ramming Jr., including the entire Comet community. Dario Anthony Ramming Jr. passed suddenly this weekend while at basketball practice. Dario was a head boy at Queens College, and the entire community holds his family and friends in their thoughts, in their hearts, and in their prayers. This is a very, very sad day for the Queens College community and the Ramming family. We also want to say condolences to the family of Mr. Anthony Scriven Jr., manager of Water and Sewerage Corporation in Abaco, who died on Saturday when a water tank collapsed and fell on him while conducting routine inspections at the water plant. Again, we hold Mr. Scriven and the entire water and sewage community in our prayers, in our thoughts, in our hearts. It was a sad weekend. Just a moment of silence. Thank you for that. Ooh, I got a little shout out I got to throw out to Rika C. Rika C, former DJ at Hot 91, a part of the Guardian family. She's moved now, but she's forever in the Guardian family's heart. Rika was hosting an awesome youth event at the mall at Marathon this weekend. I would say good morning and thank you to everybody that came together to pull off that event. A special shout out to the CV Bethel Pop Band. I want y'all to know one thing that's happening in this country is the development of youth talent, particularly in the music industry. Our high school bands are awesome, and they can go on stage with any of our local artists and perform. So again, shout out to the CV Bethel Pop Band. I had a guest in scheduled for studio this morning, but they have had to postpone, unfortunately. And so I've asked Mr. Newry to join me this morning. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning on this rainy Monday.
Yeah.
But thank God for the weather, hey?
Yeah.
I mean, I have plants I planted, but I couldn't reach to water it. And the Lord has answered prayer and watered it for me. So God is good. And
yes.
His mercy endured forever.
Absolutely. I really appreciate what you said just now. Is it Monday? Which reminds me, right, that people in the tourism sector, the way that they structure their lives, their weeks, the way that they connect to the world is different from those of us that have regular 9-to-5. I mean, y'all who have regular 9-to-5 jobs, I am severely underemployed at the moment.
Only Thursdays I tend to know.
Right. Why Thursdays?
Thursdays payday. Out of everything, all the other rest of days just blend into one. And they just work days.
Right. And it's fascinating. I wonder if people really examine tourism and how it impacts, how it intersects, how it directs even things in this country, right? How people form identities around what they do and their jobs, the spaces that they work in. I just thought that was fascinating because ordinarily people will say, well, but you don't know what day it is. Yeah. And then I think to myself, but for people working in tourism, and then for people who work nights.
Yes.
On top of that, right? Like very rarely do we take into consideration the dynamics of those that work differently than we do, mm-hmm. than that 9 to 5, what's required. People don't understand why you would need transportation, public transportation, after the sun goes down.
Yeah, yeah.
In a tourism destination where people are constantly moving back and forth from work in the tourism space.
Which is the reason why I can appreciate a young man. His first major investment is the car,
mm-hmm.
especially if he's working shift. Car is no longer a luxury. It's part of your life in order to secure and keep your job.
Right. In fact, not just to secure and keep your job. That's one aspect, right? The employment aspect. You cannot guarantee that you're going to get to work on time mm-hmm. if you're not driving your own car. Mm-hmm. And even when you drive in your own car, there are issues that may pop up.
Yes.
Right? As a young man in particular, same for women, but similar but different for men, young men, how do young men do the things that adults do in terms of socializing and intimate partner relationships if they don't have their own car?
No, cars are important. In tourism, we had a joke, a running joke, continuous joke, which says that if you dating a hotel woman, and you don't have a car to pick her up at night, you can lose her.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that transaction of going home, being dropped off, that person who's dropping her off is working to secure his relationship.
Yeah.
So you need a car to secure your woman. So I understand why a young man, his first major investment is to secure a car in order to secure his relationship, secure his job, and secure his future. Yeah. All that is a part of it.
And so, as the gods would have it, my guest didn't show up today, so it's kind of an open line. I feel you could hear the hesitation in my voice, right? Because I see the headlines, Mr. Nuri. Have you seen this morning's headlines?
Yes, I saw the headlines. A lot of things to talk about. I saw one topic. I said, sure, Aaron's going to talk about this. Lord have mercy. But we'll see if I am correct. To see if you would be baited to join into this debate.
Is it a debate?
It's not a debate if only one person, one side is talking.
But two sides don't talk.
So then it's a debate.
I mean, I don't know if it's a debate. I don't know if both sides are debating. I think one side is attempting to create a space for conversation where no conversation exists.
But are we talking about the same thing?
I don't know. Are you talking about traffic? Is I talking about traffic?
I'm just making sure it's about traffic we are speaking about.
Yeah.
Let me bait you.
Yeah.
Upon arriving here, there's a constant flooding in front of University of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
This flooding is at least be 10 to 15 years of constant flooding right there. And you should see the children, young men and women, trying to traverse to go across the street to the bookstore and the fast food restaurants.
And the classes, the actual facilities across the road, eh? They still have facilities across the road?
It's flooded. It's flooded. And I'm trying to say, does the management executive at University of the Bahamas see this? Does the government see that every time it rains, there's a flood there that nobody is noticing for the past 10 years? They say, man, don't worry about it. The children could tread water.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just want to drop in that UB concept in order to go into your topic, because I see you looking at a newspaper on the front page of The Guardian and you just don't want to say it out loud.
No, I think that that's a great place to start, right, Mr. Nuri? Because I sit here thinking, why are young people constantly wearing flip-flops when they walk in?
Yeah.
Adults too, you know. Why are people constantly wearing flip-flops? They offer poor support for your feet. They actually shorten, right, like your step, and they shorten the leg over time. They're not sturdy. They provide no ankle support if you hit like a pothole or a divot in the sidewalk, right? You can't play sports in them. You can't actually go on a proper job in them. Why is it that so many people, especially young men, right? Why are they constantly walking around in flip-flops and slippers, right? Especially coming from a place where you can pinpoint the number of men in particular who have built careers in industries because when the call came, they were ready to get on the truck and go to work. Mm-hmm. They were ready to start the job. They were prepared to start working. And it's a constant cry for me. Why are so many young men walking around in slippers? And then I realized it. So many young men and young people walk around in slippers because it floods everywhere. Everywhere is flooded. Mm-hmm. And why would I go out in the road in my leather shoes, in my high-end tennis, in my regular-end tennis, in my church shoes, knowing that I'm going to have to walk through water?
Yes. I just can't run in slippers, so that's just why I don't wear it.
Right. That's another thing. You can't make a move. You can't get out the way. You can't, right, avoid trouble if you are unable to move sure on your feet. Mm. But then I realized that these identities, right, like these ideas about how we dress are formed around a particular issue that people are forced to deal with, right? It's like they forge their identities based on what's happening in the environment around them. And so I really like what you're saying because we could segue to that. And if anybody wants to call or text and share their opinion on today's headline in The Guardian, it's "You Be Urged to Cancel LGBTQ Panel Talk" in the Tribune. It's Church Protest Pride event at UB. We could talk about it because what the event, the panel discussion is about how Black Bahamian identities have been formed and forged, right? How people create identities individually and collectively mm-hmm. based on the experiences they've had, the experiences they are part of, right? Like there's some things that we experience and it's just local. There's some things that are happening globally, not outside of the Bahamas, but it's happening in the Bahamas and in other places around the globe, like the conversation around the liberation or legalization of or decriminalization of cannabis. Mm-hmm. The conversations are happening all around the globe, not just the Bahamas. People are forming identities, particularly people who are cannabis smokers, cannabis consumers, right? They form identities and forge out identities based on their experience, their participation in this conversation locally and a conversation that's happening across the globe in different places at the same time. You know, in the same way, I sit here getting mad at young people who don't see, sorry about that caller, my apologies, that don't see the value in wearing different types of shoes without realizing that they wear flip-flops because that is the most practical thing to wear given their consistent experience in this town. Hmm. The UB been flooding from before I went to UB.
Yes.
And I'm 47. Am I the stupid one? I think it's me, not them. Mm-hmm. They have good sense. They ain't wasting no more tennis, no more shoes in that dirty flood water. Slippers it is.
We have a caller here, so let's engage this caller. But I'll follow your suit and go into this topic. But go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. Morning. How y'all doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. It's open line day on the clock with Aaron Green. How you doing?
All right. Good. I want to just touch on the slippers thing for a second and then about the panel at UB.
Yeah, man.
So firstly, I grew up in the city of Johnstown, Bintang, and the number one reason why we wore slippers is because they're very comfortable and easy to access. We leave them at the front of the door. You push your foot in them and you walk around and they're nice and cool. Because we grew up in the tropics, I think sometimes don't understand how hard it is be, and then look at the practices, like our parliamentary practices or the stuff that we wear to identify our
judiciary,
elegance and intelligence, more European. So you have guys who will be in the wigs and the in courts
and wool coat suit.
All the code suit, this madness. So that, because that is the form of showing that, hey, I am someone. But the people in the inner city, like where I grew up, they it's very hot. So you put on your slippers and your toes cool. And it's just a nice feeling.
look here. Let me ask you a question. What about the mosquitoes? See, because this is a real practical thing. When I wear slippers, I wear socks because mosquitoes love my foot, man.
Yeah, well, you know, the mosquito thing, like I have some family in Andres. They walk around in slippers sometimes and go outside bareback when the mosquitoes, like, try and half kill you and they don't be getting the attacked.
They used to it, yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I got you.
So that's what I think on that. I just believe that something with you is, we touched on a little bit with identity. Like, you have a lot of people who form an identity around institutions that were more or less built to subjugate and clone them, colony clone. So it is worked for the most part. And I think we see in a turnover in the generation where a lot of these ideologies with failing in those countries that colonized us are being rejected by the people now, more so than, especially the younger people, because they don't, the indoctrination and programming is not just, we have more information coming that, and that identity is being completely rejected now because the younger black people don't identify with it, you know?
Yeah, I got you. I want to say to you, look here, that's exactly like what the talk is going to be about on Thursday, you know.
Yeah, so
you got it.
And I've been following the LGBTQ conversation, and I've been following the notion around like gender identity. Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, my belief is that a very peculiar variable is being ignored, and that is, if a person is biologically born as a male, but in their mind, they believe that they are female, right?
Mm-hmm.
That in and of itself is a conundrum and a great confusion within that person. That's just a difficult situation, I believe, for anyone to experience. If I wake up tomorrow and I believe that when I look in the mirror, I see one thing, but in my mind, it's telling me another thing.
Mm-hmm.
There lies the confusion. Now, I don't believe no one reserves the right, particularly to say, because you have this confusion going on with you, because you seeking out something which you feel within. And remember, that feeling or that notion that person experienced is exclusive to that person. You can't feel it, Aaron. I can't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you have persons like that, right? My thing is that they need to figure their stuff out. They need to do what they need to do. They need to, if there's help they can give to them, for them to understand what they're going through, because only them are feeling it, that's fine. My greatest concern, though, on the flip side, the people who aren't experiencing this conundrum, who aren't experiencing this confusion, I just don't believe that those people on that side should have the capacity to tell the people on this side about how they should raise their children.
I got you. I got you.
I'm completely, like, if those people on that side who's experiencing this issue and they have kids and they want to do that, that's their rights, because they have to figure that out with their kids. So I open to the dialogue. I believe they should have it there. I just don't believe I believe, like, when we start to talk about rearing a kid and we start to talk about community, et cetera, because we have subsets of community, I just believe that that could be a subset, this could be a subset. But when we speak to having them conversion, I believe it just speaks the American globalization agenda, and I believe that subsets deal with themselves in that manner. And if I choose to deal it with my kids in this manner, I reserve that right as well under the Constitution.
I got you. Look here, cousin. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. You articulated yourself so well. You did a better job of defining what this conversation is about than I did. I want to say thank you for making that contribution, eh?
All right.
Absolutely. Thank you. And that's what the conversation essentially is going to be about, exploring these things.
So let's have a conversation. I see the caller. The caller, I see you. We're going to come to you shortly. But let me make this point, right? There's a number of behemoths who are concerned.
Yeah.
There are a number of behemoths who are concerned that their culture is being changed.
Yeah.
Homosexuality has been in this country for generations. We understand what it is to have a gay person within our families. However, we have an immigrant. We have accepted immigrants in this country. We always thought people had their space, their box, their position.
Yeah.
And it seems as if now the accepted norm, the accepted position is being dissolved.
Yeah.
So now it's causing a panic.
Yeah.
It's causing a panic in the church, and it's causing a panic in the nuances in the culture of Bohemians, and where they are terrified, and now they're reacting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look here, producer, let's go to the first call. You know, and what I want to say is the boxes are shifting, right?
Yeah.
Is this the only box that's shifting, or is this the only shift that's causing concern? Because what I want to throw on the table, I come to you right now, caller, was anybody this concerned when the Minister of National Security said that 7-year-olds could consent to sex?
Well, we were concerned, but it wasn't an outcry.
Right. Were we concerned when we realized that they changed the law from statutory rape to unlawful sexual intercourse?
We were concerned, but it wasn't an outcry.
Okay, cool, cool. I think there was concern, but not an outcry. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. I'm good, thank you. 1 second, producer.
Yes, we're just trying to get inside the studio. 1 minute first, caller. Yeah, we hear you now.
Good?
Yeah, we good.
So, yeah, we good. We good.
Okay, good, good. Ms. Green, I heard the president of the Christian Council said if they do have the event, a group of them will attend. They hear what the outcome will be.
That's good.
But I want to alarm him and tell him, watch some of the pastors that he'll be taking in there with him.
Look where you going.
Because he might leave some of them in there. All right? I say that on that.
They'll be safe, though.
Yeah, they may want to be there, too.
But, I mean, who wouldn't want to be in a place where there's critical discourse going on?
I think they might be, that's where they might want to be. If he have a meeting now and say, who all want to go, he'll be surprised as he wants, will go up.
I want to say to you that if people are in the closet, it's probably likely that they will not come to the event.
Ms. Green, if I don't drink rum, I don't drink beers, I don't drink wine, why would I want to hang in a bar?
That's where my friend's at.
And my friends could be outside, too. Friends could come by me, too. I could go by my friends, too. I won't hang in a bar.
That's where my congregation is.
You won't be like Jesus and hang around sinners.
But let me say this in closing.
Yes, sir.
If I don't have no interest in no homosexual, no lesbian, no nothing, whatever they call it, why would I want to go to a meeting like that? I'm not. That don't interest.
You have
no interest over that.
You want me to tell you why they want to come?
Yeah. Why you think I'll want to go? Me.
No. I can tell
if
you.
I have no interest.
I can tell you why the Christian Council would want to be there.
I know I'm with the Christian Council. I'm talking about an individual person like me. Why would I want to go sit down in an auditorium to listen to something like that?
Okay,
I have no interest in it.
There's two reasons why.
Give me them, please.
The first is if you were compelled to call the radio station and share your opinion, you would come to an event like this so that you can ensure that when you do share your opinion, it's an informed opinion. Mm-hmm. When you do critique what it is, like I can be on the panel, when you do critique what it is I'm saying, you could do so with a more informed perspective because you heard what it was I was saying and you had a chance to weigh it yourself as opposed to assessing what other people tell you I said.
Could I say this in a rude way?
Yeah, man. I
have no interest in hearing what you have to say. I can say my part. I believe in the Bible.
Okay, here's another reason why you may want to attend. Because one day, someone in your family may identify themselves to you as being a member of the community.
Mm-hmm. And they're 18 or older?
Yeah.
I
imagine.
That's not my business.
But what if...
Once you're not a 12 or 13-year-old, they're an adult just trying to force themselves onto you. Once you reach 18 and you could go vote, you can do whatever you want to do. One thing in life I always tell people, God give you your family. You don't have no choice with who is your family. God give you your family. But you have a choice with who is your friends. So if you have a friend who like that, you could cut him off. But if you have a family member like that, you'll have to bury them. God hates the sin. He don't hate the sinners.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, caller.
Let's go to the next one. Right. But Aaron, I think the question is, does the Christian Council have a right to challenge UB? And that's the conversation we need to have.
Well,
do they have a right to challenge and say, do not have it? Or does UB have a right to say, well, we are a learning institution and we are entertaining this conversation, especially in the era where people said they're thinking that there's an outside agenda that is creating a false culture within the Bahamas and they want to push back. So this is where the nuance is coming
towards. Of course. The Christian Council has a right to challenge the university. The same way I, Aaron Green, have a right to challenge the university, and I take up that right all the time. They do have a right to challenge the university. I want to say, caller, you want a cell phone? You want a cell? Sparky? 1 second, Sparky. What I want to say is yes, they have the right to challenge, but we also need to understand what the Bahamas Christian Council is. Mm-hmm. The Bahamas Christian Council is a political lobby. That's what it is, a political lobby. It's an organization that intends to ensure that Christian doctrine is entrenched in Bahamian law and policy. That's their function. A lot of people expect the Christian Council to speak on issues, right? Like, oh, the girls them fast and they taking advantage of the man them. The Christian Council seeks to entrench Christian doctrine in policy. So what I expect the Christian Council to do is this, to say, hey, the university has created a policy we don't agree with and we want to challenge it.
So it's verbiage then, this issue.
How they started
the conversation.
Who?
The Christian Council. If they put it the way that you put it, I think people would be more amicable for their position.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. This heavy combative language is problematic, no doubt. But I think that people would understand that. You got to understand what the Christian Council is to understand where they try to insert themselves. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hey, morning.
Good morning, Ms. Green and Mr. Newey.
Morning, sir.
You know, I hear us keep saying this is a Christian nation. But then they say it's founded on Christian principles. And first of all, let me say, condolences go out to all the families that lost loved ones. It seems since Dorian and the COVID, and somehow we seem to be as Bahamians coming a little closer together. Although crime seems to be ravaging the nation, we seem to be caring more about one another's family and situations, poverty and whatever else, obviously. Hats go out to all those that lost loved ones. Now, when we come to this thing about God, our Constitution said you got the freedom of religion.
No, it says it doesn't say that. It says you have freedom of expression. You have the right to freedom of expression, freedom of association, and there's what freedom of expression.
Does it mean that we still have the right to freedom of religion? Do I have to be a Christian?
You don't. And when you construe the three rights together, they suggest that you have the freedom of religion and freedom from religion.
Oh, okay, so why is it that one particular religious organization referring to themselves as Christians trying to force everybody to be Christians? I don't hear the Muslims around here trying to make everybody be a Muslim. If you want to be a Muslim, you go down Carmichael Road, and you go to the mosque and you introduce yourself and join whatever you want to do. But coming from that, when it comes to nature itself, this thing they refer to as God. To me, God is nature. And when I look at nature, I look at the tree outside in my yard. Try to follow Ms. Green where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
The tree has a root. The root goes into the soil. The trunk of the tree comes up, and the leaves and the fruit are above. I don't see no fruit and no leaves underground. That's nature. When I look at the animals, the lion in the jungle, I see the lion with a lioness.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it when it comes to human beings, a man want to be a woman, and a woman want to be a man?
Oh, Sparky, we don't have
to...
I want you to listen to what I'm saying. We're talking about nature now, and I can tell you right now, you need to take some time and explore the mystery and majesty of the natural world. Examples of the things you're talking about exist all over the place. Animals that can change sexes, all kind of thing.
I see we have another call.
Yeah, let's go to the call.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Morning, Nuri.
Morning.
Open line, eh?
Yeah, open line. You talk with anything you want. Go ahead.
Oh, that's fine. Okay, praise the Lord. Well, Eric, you mentioned the flooding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to inform you that, you're Nuri, that the government purchased pumping machines, and they both put some new drainage down, change some of those old caps, and they both dig some of the wells deeper.
In which parts of the island?
All over the island, starting at Bay Street up in that area.
When will they reach the UB?
What you could do, pardon me?
When will they reach the UB? I need to know that information.
Yeah, what you could do is call their public relations and ask them to give some update on your show. But when I was watching the news, I saw it on the national news.
On ZNS?
Yes, yeah. I saw it when they had it on ZNS. They had the pumping machine.
Do they have any policies in writing to mitigate, to prevent the flooding? I don't want policies to deal with the flooding. It's 2023.
Well,
it's been flooding for 100 years.
Part, but I think their best document is ZNS.
You mean the best place to follow the conversation is ZNS?
Best
okay.
To find it, but you call the ministry.
You ever tried to call the ministry?
The ministry of work, they have a director, right?
Yeah, you ever tried to call?
Wait. I know how the government office go.
You
answer the phone. Some answer the phone, you know, but it takes a little while.
Yeah.
At least they know better than BTC.
Okay.
Anyway, listen.
Okay, have a good day.
Where are you?
Thanks.
Woo! Nothing, sir. Have a good day. Thank you very, very much.
I have a text that says, UB's constitution says they are not subject to religious beliefs. It's exactly the place to discuss any issue. I don't have to agree with what they are discussing, and some people in the discussion don't have to agree, but they have the right to have the discussion.
In fact, let's read the statement. Let me read the statement from the University of the Bahamas.
And I want to add, when you read the statement, right? Let me ask this question. If the Christian Council decides to attend this event and they challenge what is being said, can I, an attendee, say it's inappropriate for you to be here challenging what is being said?
No.
No?
However,
this space is for the promotion of...
The space is always for the promotion of critical thought.
So once they're being critically thinking or critically aware, they can join in the conversation and put in an alternative perspective. I just want to know if this is the place that they can challenge, or this is not the place and the time and the place that a challenge must be met.
It's not the place for a challenge. And the Christian Council should not be challenging anybody. The Christian Council should be engaging people, organizations, and institutions.
Explain engaging.
So by challenge, it suggests that you come there with a fight in mind, that you come to entrench your position in the face of things that you expect to be said. You don't know what's going to be said. You expect. You have an expectation. So challenge suggests you come in there to ensure that your position is entrenched in the space, right? When you come to engage, you come to hear and you come to share. You come to critique, to interrogate. And you could even challenge in that space.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about tone. You come into a space where you know that LGBTQ people are coming mm-hmm. to hear a conversation on the subject. You know that these people already feel marginalized in their own country. Mm-hmm. You know that they already feel unsafe in their own country. Mm-hmm. And you know that a lot of people don't come out to events because they feel like they're going to be exposed,
yes.
right, in their own country. So you come with a Christian attitude of love. You come to engage.
Do you think you can have any cameras there too so I can have them pan the audience? I mean, not pan the audience so they want to know who they are, but just pan the audience so I can know who they are.
They may record it.
But they ain't gonna pan in the
I'm
audience.
Not sure. Yeah? Sometimes you don't do that. What you do at events like that is you hand out stickers. There's a sticker that says no camera, right? It has a camera with a red stripe through it.
What?
And that lets the cameraman know that I don't want to be on camera.
So I can't come with my camera phone and then just zoom.
You shouldn't come in for the purpose of exposing people.
That is exposing. I'm recording. I blog.
Recording
people.
Yeah, no, don't come for that.
Don't come for that.
No.
We have another caller.
Yeah, let's go to the caller.
We have another caller there. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, caller.
Oof.
Hi.
I have no problem with anybody doing what they want to do as long as it doesn't infringe on anybody else's rights and privileges and put them in any, you know, catastrophic position. But mm-hmm. there was a lady, I was selling insurance some years ago, and I just want to show you how you have to go with the flow or else you wouldn't know. And they taught us in insurance that two things you don't talk about. You don't talk about religion.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't talk about politics when you're trying to sell a policy. Well, I made that big mistake. And the lady told me point blank, sir, if Pinlin tell me eat, you see that cockroach right there? If Pinlin tell me eat that cockroach, I eat it. I say, I tell you what, let's cook it first. And that's how I was able to get on her side.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as an insurance agent, I ain't challenging what you live in. I ain't come to find out how much age you got. I want to know if you have been tested because I have to put it on the form. But mm-hmm. it ain't me to change you.
Yeah.
You can deal with actuaries when that time comes. I only want to sell insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So I come in to sell insurance.
Yes, sir.
Figuratively speaking, you got me, eh?
Yes, sir. Yes. Absolutely.
Have a good day.
Thank you very much.
We have another text. Aaron says, blessing Lady Green and Brother Nuri regarding the flooding by the University of the Bahamas. If they can't solve the flooding with the drainage systems, then they should place some kind of aluminum metal pedestrian overpass in that spot. That is high enough for dump trucks. Trailer heads or whatever. Trailer heads or whatever. Big rigs to pass under. Yeah, a beautiful pedestrian overpass like they already have overseas near some schools and university campuses.
Well, I tell you what, the students are supposed to be centered in the institution. Something has to be done. And why is this not a project that the School of Engineering has been tasked with? There should be a yearly award for the best strategy, the best idea, the best schematics for not just mitigating, getting rid of the flooding, but dealing, mitigating it, right? Getting rid of it and or mitigating it, making it easier for people to move through it.
I see another caller this text asked if you were part of this panel. He said, I know Aaron Green is a part of this panel.
Yeah, I could be on the panel.
You on the panel?
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't tell me about it? You're hiding stuff from me, man.
No, man, it ain't that.
So why did they invite you? They didn't invite me.
Are you an expert, sir?
No, I ain't no expert now. Just letting you know. I ain't no expert.
There you go. One second, I can get back to that question, sir. And text her. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Mr. Nuri.
Hey, good morning, morning.
Yeah, I'm policing the airwaves. You know, there was a gentleman that called. He gave a what I thought was a... You see, and he probably is a non-pundit, so, you know, everybody input counts. And he spoke about implementing a reverse osmosis system that actually has submersible pumps that can actually help solve the problem with the flooding downtown.
Uh-huh.
But what I'm saying is, they're not thinking along these lines because I haven't heard anybody trying to collect the data as far as the gallons per minute.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? In order to know what they're up against as far as what they need. You can say you need a reverse osmosis machine, but you need to discover the amount of gallons per day capacity that you need.
Yeah.
Reverse osmosis machine go with the gallons per day.
Yeah.
And you can easily calculate it. But and also the gallons per minute on the submersible pumps. So
yeah.
Those are the things you need to bear in mind, and they're not collecting data. So right now it's just chatter. But I really wanted to comment on something you said that I think I should mention.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you talk about hermaphrodites, right? But we must bear in mind that even though in nature hermaphrodites exist, but they exist in order to replicate and keep the species going, whereas in humans it is not. So I mean, you saying that the hermaphrodite exists? Most flowering plants are hermaphroditic. And
mm-hmm.
they have male and female parts. And so without that, we wouldn't eat. And and also we know that there are organisms that are hermaphroditic, like flukes and worms and some frogs and all of these different things,
yeah.
snails and et cetera. But they and seahorses, but they do that in order to reproduce. They do it when it's necessary.
Right.
But humans have that will. So I just wanted to share that, Aaron.
Man, listen, 52. Thank you.
Yeah.
No,
but
man, thank
I
you.
I like what you think, Aaron. And the thing is, like the last caller said, it's not the problem with that about the agenda at UB. It's the imposition, Aaron. It's the destruction of the human race, which is a big disgrace. Bless.
So, following 52, let me read this text.
Yeah,
says, the texter says, 80 years ago, the majority thought that segregation was okay. But now people accept black people as equal to white people. Maybe in 80 years, we will look back and accept gay people instead of trying to make them hide or tell them their lifestyle is wrong. Do we remember, where is that? Are you trying to see what it is?
Yeah.
Don't we remember that years ago, black people were considered less than, or it was wrong for us to go to school or join in the Shire people activities? Don't behemoths realize they are doing exactly as racist people did years ago? How hypocritical. Just wanted to end that segment with that.
Yeah.
But I see the music is playing.
So we got to go to a break.
We got to go to the break.
Yeah, thank you. Look here, to all the callers, to all the texters, thank you very, very much for your contributions this morning. We'll be right back.
For many people, a breast cancer diagnosis can feel like a battle they're facing alone. But we're all in this together, because breast cancer patients are our mothers, sisters, daughters, our friends. Women need to be assured that they have access to the screening they need and the support they deserve, because every woman matters. Every story is powerful. Every voice makes a difference. Join Guardian Media Group as we pink up the month of October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Show your support. Place your ad. Give your story, your voice in the Nassau Guardian, Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio, or Hot 91. For more information, contact your account executive or call 302-2300. Join Guardian Media as we motivate our community by supporting a powerful cause and raising awareness for Breast Cancer Awareness Month this October.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. I'd say once again, let me just say thank you to the callers and the texters. I'm not going to read this text, Mr. Newry, because they spend their money. Aaron, I understand that you are a part of this event being put on by UB to convert our innocent university students to live an alternate lifestyle. Dear texter, first of all, why I can read it, you know, but why would you text a lie like that? Why would you do that? You don't feel that that's dangerous? First of all, you don't think that the young people that we're raising in this country have a sense of self and a sense of identity already? You don't think they're strong enough to go into a space and hear things that are not familiar to them and to be able to interrogate it and assess it and put to the side that which they feel is not good for them? You don't think that they have that capacity? Do you have that little faith in the work that you as a Bahamian have done to build a country and to ensure that young people could push forward? Nobody going to UB to indoctrinate anyone. But what you can do is you can ensure that your young people have a sufficient sense of self, sense of identity, sense of connection to community and family and legacy, that they are not swayed by any Johnny-come-lately, which is what's happening to them, because we have attempted for generations to produce malleable children that are easy to discipline and control and fall in line. You were happy when they were falling in line with your messaging, but now you're afraid that they're going to fall in line with someone else's messaging. The way to combat that is to create critical thinking children that can easily assess what's in front of them and determine what is of value to them and what is not. But what you imply in this is that our children are stupid. And if you think they're stupid, then it's your job to ensure that they're not, by shoring up the education system, by creating mechanisms, networks, and opportunities for young people to become critical thinking citizens. Here's another thing as a part of this conversation. Are your beliefs about the LGBTQ community in the Bahamas formed by what you're hearing from people outside the Bahamas? LGBTQ advocates and activists outside the Bahamas? Or are you listening to local experts and local advocates and activists and hearing what it is they're saying about the work that's taking place in your country? And so to the caller who asked, why should I come out to an event because it doesn't interest me? For many people, your identities and your opinions are formed by what you hear foreign people say about their country, their communities, their world. So you should come out to this event to hear what local people are saying about local experiences, local dynamics, local advocacy.
We're going to end up running out of time. When is this event?
So the event is Thursday night, 5 p.m.
So Thursday in the evening.
In the evening.
And where's it going to be?
At the University of the Bahamas.
And you can be there?
I can be on the panel.
Let me go squeeze this caller in. Yeah, go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? We have about 30 seconds to go.
Yes, sir. First, I say that I'm concerned about the church, right? And with they're only concerned about some injustice, you know, and not the injustice of it, particularly not, they're not concerned about the injustice of homelessness. You know, some of them, they feed people, some of them feed people stale food, you know, and then, you know, what happened to the homelessness? Why are they not up in arms about homelessness? Is it because they too busy building apartments and need people to pay their rent, so no problem with people being homeless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my greatest concern, you know, with the church. You know, sin is sin, you know, and we all have come short. You know, that's my two cents.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think this is what has upset people. This event is in celebration of the 4th annual Pride Week. The School of Social Sciences will host Forward, Upward, Onward, Together, Road to Inclusion. And the keynote address is called Black Bahamian Subject Formation from Non-Subject to Subject, Part 2. It's going to be 4 p.m. That's 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Michael Eldon Building.
So why just Black Bahamians? Just asking. I noticed that black, you know, when they say black, I just get defensive quick. But that's okay. Conquer your Bahamians can come too, right?
Of course, they need to come. Yeah. They need to be a part of the discussion.
I'm just saying that you mentioned just Black Bahamians.
Come to engage, not to challenge, but come to engage.
Yes.
Like the first caller, I just want to say once again, thank you, producer, to that first caller. My man, thank you very much. I appreciated your contribution so much. And to everybody that called today, thank you. Thank you very much. You guys have a great day.
Yes.
Mr. Newry, Guardian Radio AM is up next. You guys don't move that dial. We'll be back.